Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Here's a drive. Lillard goes underneath and lays it in with a foul. He went right at the rookie, Zachary Risacher.
Butts Talk starts now.
Lillard going to pass it to the far side. Ball saved and bounced by Lopez. Gets it to Prince. Lobs up to Giannis, who's hanging on the rim with another dunk.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, you knew the win streak would eventually come to an end, and I think a lot of signs pointed to tonight with what we mentioned last night and briefly previewing this. It was going to be a difficult test against the Atlanta Hawks, a Hawks team that's playing much better this season, a Hawks team that did a very good job of keeping the Bucks out of the paint. And even though they're not the most stout defense, the numbers do not suggest that the Hawks are one of the better defenses in the league. They do have just enough, and they have those moments and glimpses of guys that can produce that. They came into play tonight with the 18th rated defense in the league, bottom 10 in transition defense in both the frequency that they allow opponents to get there and opponent efficiency in those opportunities. They give up a lot of three-point attempts, and we saw that tonight with 45 attempted threes from the Bucks. The most in the NBA in terms of your shot profile, percentage of shots that are threes. Hawks lead the way in that. Sixth best, though, at defending the rim, and I think that is multiple things that account for that for the Hawks, and all of those things we saw tonight as they did a very good job, even though he got to 30 points, and it's one of the conversations we've had about Damian Lillard, too, through the shooting struggles that we saw for moments early in the season. You still looked up at the numbers and would see, man, Damian Lillard has 7 30-point games. Damian Lillard has gotten up to this. Damian Lillard consistently sitting at 25 or 26 points, which is where he was tonight. Giannis still got to 30-plus points tonight, but it took a lot of work to get there. He was defended very physically with a lot of different defenders. They have lengthy wings. They just cut off every single angle. It seemed like this was more of a challenge than I can remember. I don't want to be too hyperbolic here, but really dating back to some of those matchups through the years against the Miami Heat and the Toronto Raptors, that type of challenge for Giannis to get to the rim, that the Hawks were just able to throw waves of defenders, not just at Giannis, across the board for the Bucks. Part of this is night two of a back-to-back. We heard some of those thoughts from Doc Rivers. Part of it was a cold shooting night, which could tie into night two of a back-to-back here. But the Atlanta Hawks take a game that certainly in that fourth quarter and a lot of the second half, too, felt like it was there for the taking. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk and chime in with your thoughts. Doc Rivers, the message from him after the game tonight was one downplaying anything to really come from this. As he said, coming into play tonight, he really wanted to play upwards of 12 guys in the first half tonight, with the thought being, let's kind of save some of the rest of the group. Let's save some of those legs. Let's play more guys. See if we can keep this close and buy some more time for the regulars in the second half. And maybe in the second half we can steal it. Mentioned he was talked out of it, though, and even pointed out a couple of times, I don't know if it would have changed things, but I do really wish we would have gone with that. I think a number of times that's what stood out the most about this game. It just felt like this was a team that had very tired legs for the Bucks coming back from Detroit last night, arriving home at about 12:30-ish in the morning this morning. But everything about it, the missed shots, being late on some of the rotations, that was one of the things that Doc Rivers singled out after the game. That stood out. We really saw a lack of ball movement as well in the second half. But, you know, Doc Rivers' point was, we'll watch some of the tape. I'm not sure that there's any wholesale takeaways from this game tonight. And certainly, while it's disappointing, one loss, a 15-point loss on night two of a back-to-back to a very good, playing better Atlanta Hawks team, it doesn't erase everything that we have done over the course of the last, what, two-plus weeks. And that, I think, is the important thing to keep in mind. We've tried to say during the win streak, too, look, things are never as bad as they appear, and they are oftentimes not as good as they appear as well. The truth is always somewhere in the middle there. I do think this team is closer to what we've seen during the seven-game win streak than that 2-8 start. But it's going to be interesting to see how do you react to games like this. How do you bounce back? Because it suddenly becomes a very interesting schedule for the Bucks. November was a very home-heavy schedule. And you looked at the teams on that schedule in front of you, for the most part, pretty similar to the teams that you're going to be playing here in the month of December. The difference being December games are on the road more than anything. You do have a challenge Friday night against the Boston. Tonight was a challenge, but a big challenge Friday night against the Boston Celtics. It's going to be curious to see how the Bucks respond against a Brooklyn Nets team, because you know, we talked about that Washington Wizards game last weekend being maybe a bit of a trap game when you talked about the games that you were coming off of, what you were moving toward as well. This could be one of those games. Same can be said for that Brooklyn Nets game on Sunday, because you will be coming directly off of your game against the Boston Celtics, and you will then be going into your NBA Cup quarterfinals game against the Orlando Magic. So that is going to be interesting in terms of any possible chance of a letdown. But the most interesting game is going to be Friday, just to see how this team responds with a little bit of rest and the final time, at least in the regular season, that they're going to get to play the Boston Celtics this season. This Hawks team, too, like we mentioned, playing a lot better this season. They are now above 500. So you have yet another team creeping into that mix in the Eastern Conference, slowly but surely. But coming into play tonight, the Hawks had 11 wins. Three of those 11 wins were against the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers. That Celtics game was one of the bigger upsets in league history, at least in modern history, winning that game without Trae Young. And the two Cavs wins came in a span of 3 days, the week of Thanksgiving. So they have been playing very well against very tough competition. And with how the Bucks have been playing for the last two-plus weeks, you can throw the Bucks in that mix as well in another one of those games that the Atlanta Hawks win tonight. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I do want to get to the possible scenarios in play for the Bucks as we mentioned the NBA Cup and previewed that very briefly, mentioning that we now know the date and time of that Bucks game against the Orlando Magic next week. So we'll get into that and the second game that the Bucks have to make up coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
119-104, our final here inside of Fiserv Forum. Atlanta Hawks bring it into that seven-game win streak for the Bucks. A big game in a homecoming here for Jalen Johnson, the Wisconsin native, the star at Nicolet High. Had a big game tonight, and it's an interesting Atlanta Hawks team because it's been, I don't know if I can say a breakout season, because we started to see a lot of these things last year from Jalen Johnson, but he's continued to build upon that, scoring 23 points tonight with 13 rebounds, and still here in the arena with a large contingency of friends and family coming here to watch him play. But DeAndre Hunter was especially good tonight as well. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, had 3 steals. Coming out of Virginia, DeAndre Hunter was one of those guys you looked at and said, man, this is the prototypical 3-and-D type of player that you need quite a few of in this league. And it just never seemed to fit for DeAndre Hunter. Part of that was injuries. Part of it, I don't know what it was. But I think we've started to see pieces of that again this season. You certainly saw it tonight. And when we talk about just the waves of defenders, these big, lengthy, rangy wings that the Hawks have that they can throw out there at you, DeAndre Hunter Onyeka Okongwu is one of those bigs that really plays Giannis tough. And that was one of the other things I think we touched on this last night. I was very interested to see how it played out tonight. We've seen those physical guards that have good length be able to not stop Giannis, but give him some fits. You think way back when with a guy like Marcus Smart. If you can get under him with your leverage, you have enough length that you can impact passing lanes and other things, and you move your feet well, you can hold up at times, not for the course of a full game. Giannis still got the 30 points tonight, but those are the guys that can make him work more and bring down that efficiency. I mention that because the Hawks have quite a few of those. I mean, Jalen Johnson started the game defending Giannis. Dyson Daniels is another one of those guys, you know, the great barrier thief, the nickname that he was given early in the season. Dyson Daniels, one of those guys that can impact passing lanes and really shut things down. DeAndre Hunter fits that mold. Onyeka Okongwu, again, one of the few bigs that has been able to hold up against Giannis. So Atlanta just has a handful of these guys. First-round pick, Zachary Risache, another one of those. First overall pick, I should say, Zachary Risache. So they have a handful of those guys that were able to really impact the passing lanes and all these angles where Giannis is able to contort and find paths to the lane that otherwise wouldn't have existed. None of those really were there tonight. Part of that is a credit to the Atlanta Hawks defense. I do think part of it is kind of the message that we heard from Doc Rivers after the game as well. Look, it was night two of a back-to-back, and it certainly did appear as though our team was tired. I thought we were dead-legged most of the game. We didn't think well, which is a sign of fatigue. We didn't execute very well. I didn't think we passed the ball well tonight. We were late a lot, and it felt like that was the case the entire night. Giannis and Dame tried to will things, and oftentimes that can be dangerous. And that's when Doc Rivers pointed out, I wish I would have played like 12 guys during the first half and kind of got talked out of it. I don't know if it would have mattered, though, but every once in a while you have these scheduled games where you just feel like, let's get to the second half and be alive and see if we can steal this thing in the second half. I just didn't think we had a lot tonight after an emotional game last night in Detroit. And, you know, the larger message, too. Not only that, but we kind of started the show saying this. Doc Rivers said the same thing as well. You're going to lose a game at some point. The win streak wasn't going to go all the way until the end of the season. So you're going to lose a game at some point. It doesn't turn around what we're doing. This is just one game. We'll watch a little film. I don't think we'll watch a ton of it. We're just going to get ready for Boston. The big thing, and it was kind of the message within this game, too, when the Bucks would start to chip away and get it down to 8, one of the bigger moments of this game was that missed 3 by A.J. Green, where you felt like you came up with some stops. A.J. Green got a pretty good look. He missed a 3 that would have made it a 10-point game. Hawks go down the floor, hit a 3 of their own, and it was right back up to 20 in the blink of an eye. You were able to get it down to 8 a little bit later in the game, but each time, and I think it was twice, that the Bucks got it into single digits down to 8, each time that happened, moments later, couple of trips down the floor, it was back to a 16 or 15 or 17 point margin. You were just never able to stabilize, and you would trade runs. That's kind of the message going forward, too. Like, Doc Rivers has a strong belief in his team. As he said, this one game doesn't undo the 7-game win streak. It doesn't undo how we've played, not just in the last 10 games where the Bucks were 9-1 coming into tonight, but really since November 1st on. We shared some of those numbers last night. They're a top 10 offense, top 10 defense, top 10 net rating as well, November 1st onward. Tonight's performance is going to change that. But the big thing coming out of this game is, okay, it was one of those scheduled games, and I think actually one of the larger points that is worth mentioning that Doc Rivers made before this game was, you know, you have heard Doc Rivers champion the NBA Cup and say, I think it's important. If there's a trophy, you know, we saw the Lakers hang a banner, but if there's a trophy, if there's a banner, if there's something tangible that we can win, well, then we want to win it. These are some of the most competitive guys in the world. Doc Rivers has embraced it. I think you've seen a lot of teams and players and coaches embrace the NBA Cup. But as Doc Rivers said, look, if we're trying to make this important, and I think it should be, we should not be playing any back-to-backs coming out of cup games. Like, it's no different than your marquee games. Like, let's start to bake in some time off around that. So I do wonder if maybe you see some of that next season. But one big change we did see this season, I want to get to coming up in the next segment. Just finish this point, though. I mentioned you were never able to stabilize. You would kind of trade mini runs. That's what you can't do here in terms of your schedule and what's in front of you. I'm very curious to see how the Bucks come out and respond against the Boston Celtics on Friday night. Again, given it's your final regular season game against them this season, but you got that seven-game win streak. You got back above 500. You got two games above 500 momentarily. It's still just one. You didn't get all the way to the top of the mountain. There's still some climbing to go. So what you don't want to see, and again, as we mentioned, the 2-8 start, the 1-6 start, those types of stretches are going to occur oftentimes a couple of times during a regular season for multiple teams. It's unavoidable. But it came at the wrong time for the Bucks. Right as the season started when all the attention was there, you don't want to go from one extreme to the next. So use what we've seen, as a former football coach in Green Bay would oftentimes say, stack successes here, and let's keep moving forward. A big weekend with the Boston Celtics. We'll see how the Bucks respond there. Another chance, just as we saw the Bucks do against the Chicago Bulls about a week ago, to say, let's erase some of the memories of that second game of the season when we had a really bad second half against the Chicago Bulls and were thoroughly beaten. You have a chance to do the same Sunday in Brooklyn against the Nets team that, much like tonight's opponent, is playing much better than anyone anticipated. Nets just won again tonight, beating the Indiana Pacers. But that is another opportunity to say, we are a different team than the last time you faced us. Get a win there, look better doing it, and then you move into the NBA Cup. And that's where the schedule starts to get interesting. So I mentioned there is a lot of time off coming up for not just the Bucks. Most of these teams in the NBA. We'll take a look ahead to that NBA Cup game and that time off that I alluded to coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
119-104 final. The Atlanta Hawks beat the Bucks tonight inside a Fiserv Forum. Last night on the show, we knew the Bucks had won Group B. We knew who the four teams in the Eastern Conference were going to be, and what the two matchups, I should say, in the quarterfinals were going to be. What we did not know was the exact date and time. We knew it was going to be one of 2 days, didn't know the time. We have all of that information now. So as I mentioned, you play the Celtics on the road on Friday night, 6:30 tip in Boston. Then you go to Brooklyn to take on the Nets in an afternoon game on Sunday. 2:30 tip Sunday afternoon for the Bucks and the Nets. Then you come back home. There is only one game being played on Monday, December 9th. That is the New York Knicks and the Toronto Raptors. Tuesday, December 10th is when the Bucks quarterfinal game is. So Tuesday night at 6 o'clock Central Time, Bucks will host the Orlando Magic. Your second game of that night is in Oklahoma City at 8:30, where the Thunder host the Dallas Mavericks. So that is your first day of the quarterfinals. On Wednesday, December 11th, you have the second games. The New York Knicks host the Atlanta Hawks, and the Houston Rockets host the Golden State Warriors. So Wednesday at roughly 8:30, we will know what the Bucks' second game is. So again, the winners of the quarterfinal games for both conferences will play each other in the semifinals. Goes without saying. So if the Bucks win, they play the winner of the Hawks-Knicks game, and they won't play that game until Saturday in Las Vegas. So if you win on Tuesday, you're off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, with the semifinal game being played on Saturday. If you lose on Tuesday, you will then play the loser of the New York Knicks Atlanta Hawks game, and that game would not be played until after Saturday. And that would be your 82nd game of the season because, as we've mentioned a couple of times, and I know it can be somewhat confusing, the schedule now with the NBA Cup in place, the schedule is comprised of just 80 games for each team. So you leave two vacant games because the finals of the NBA Cup does not count towards the regular season. So if you played in the quarterfinals and semifinals, those would be your missing two games. If you don't qualify, then you just play two games against two other teams that also did not qualify, or as we just ran through in the Bucks scenarios, they've qualified for the NBA Cup quarterfinals, so one game will be a tournament game. If they lose, they'll play the other team that was knocked out in the quarterfinals. So you're going to get a lot of time off between your quarterfinal game and your next game, whether that is a semifinal game or if that's just a regular season game and you've been bounced from the tournament. You will get at least 3 days off in that mix. And if you do move on to the NBA Cup Finals, that game is going to be played on Tuesday, December 14th, and that game is in Las Vegas. So best case scenario for the Bucks, if you're one of those that is hoping the Milwaukee Bucks win the NBA Cup, is the Bucks play Tuesday, the Bucks would then play Saturday, and the Bucks would then play Tuesday. Again, if you lose one of those games, or if you lose both, not both, but if you lose one of those games, you'd play Tuesday. If you lost, you wouldn't play again until after Saturday. So there's going to be a lot of time off here coming up for the Bucks over the course of the next couple of weeks, essentially, because even after the finals of the NBA Cup are concluded, December 15th, that Wednesday, you have those makeup games being played. Five games, to be exact. December 16th, that Thursday, December 16th is that Monday. That's where you have makeup games being played. The 17th is the Tuesday. That is where your NBA Cup Championship is being played. So the 15th and 16th are already full of games, those makeup games. The 17th is when the Cup Final is played. The 18th is an off day for the entire league. And then the 19th is when you'll have 13 games being played. And again, those have all been scheduled. So if the Bucks do not qualify for the NBA Cup, we know their second game, if they lose in the quarterfinals, would be played after the semifinals. So conventional wisdom would tell you either Sunday or Monday. If that's the case, you would be playing again, or you would have some time off from the potentially 15th of December all the way up until the 20th when you go to Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers. So you're going to get at least 3 days off from Tuesday to your next game, and then depending on the result of that, you could have four or five games off once again, which is going to be huge for one of the oldest teams in the league. It's the biggest change they made to the schedule format of the NBA Cup this season. Last year, the semifinals, remember, that was a Thursday afternoon. I believe it was a 2 o'clock tip Milwaukee time for the semifinals. The finals were a Saturday night, and then you went right back to things just a couple of days later. You qualified for the semifinals, I believe, on a Tuesday, and played Thursday in Las Vegas in the semifinals. So there wasn't that built-in time off. It was all compressed in there, and that is not the case this season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mentioned a large contingency of Atlanta Hawks fans still in the building, some friends and family of Jalen Johnson, and as you can hear some background noise going on here, it is also Greek night here at Fiserv Forum. So momentarily, there's roughly a couple hundred fans that are still in the building waiting for Giannis Antetokounmpo to eventually make his way out here to the floor, and you will definitely be able to hear that ovation when that takes place. But still some time to hear from you tonight, 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight where the Bucks come up short against the Atlanta Hawks. We'll take a look at your updated look at the Eastern Conference, what, if anything, this game did, and that Miami Heat score. We mentioned Philadelphia 76ers keep stepping in it. and some struggles from the Indiana Pacers. So we'll take a refresh view at the Eastern Conference coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
119-104 final tonight. The Atlanta Hawks take down the Bucks, bringing an end to that seven-game win streak. A lot of big performances in this one for the Hawks. DeAndre Hunter with 20. Wisconsin native Jalen Johnson with 23. Bogdan Bogdanovic hit big shots all night long. He finished with 15 points tonight. And conspicuous by his absence when we list those big performances was Trae Young, who really struggled mightily. And that is one of the areas where I think the Bucks really kicked themselves for not being able to creep back into this game. I know it was night two of a back-to-back, and I know the Bucks shot 33% from three in this game, but Trae Young, 6 of 19, 0 of 9 on his threes, 17 points, and just 7 assists from Trae Young. It was really the other guys. Jalen Johnson, Dyson Daniels had some nice defensive moments. DeAndre Hunter hit big shots. So did Bogdan Bogdanovic. Those were the most impactful players, and their bigs in Clint Capela and Onyeka Okongwu. 17 rebounds in this game from Clint Capela. It is the most the Bucks have given up to an individual this season. Capela had 6 offensive rebounds, and that was, again, an area the Hawks dominated. 16 offensive boards. They turned those into 21 points, and that has been one of the issues that's remained persistent for the Bucks this season, their work on the defensive glass. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Will I Am. You kick things off. I'm assuming you're at the game tonight, Will.
Yes, I was, Justin. Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. A little late to get out of there with all the crazy wind, but hey, all good things do come to an end. You know, beautiful stretch of wins that we put up, and you could clearly see this back-to-back was kicking us hard this game, and I really didn't realize that it was kicking us that bad until we gave up that dunk off of a Giannis free throw, I believe. I don't know, second or third quarter, the Hawks were able to run down the court, no contest on any end, and you could see the Bucks taking that one a little bit hard tonight. Obviously, we got dominated by the fundamentals, missing free throws, missing open shots, again, on the back-to-back. You would like to see those go down, but you know going forward those shots are going to fall. And then lastly, Justin, to end on a positive note, great interview with Marcus Johnson. Listen to that before I got to the game. And, hey, man, it took him 42 episodes to have you on, but at least you got there. I know we'll bounce back versus the Celtics, and I hope you have a good night, Justin. Go Bucks.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Will. And that was, you know, one of the things that stood out in the first half. I think we mentioned it on the game broadcast. The Hawks were, I believe, 18 of 24 at the rim tonight. So when we say dunks at the rim, or shots at the rim, it's usually it's dunks or layups that you're getting. The Hawks had 24 of those looks in the first half. They hit 18 of them. They were 4 of 10 on mid-range shots in the first half. So they took 28 twos. And they hit 22 of them. Most of their misses were coming on those mid-range looks, but everything they were getting was at the rim. They were only fouled on shots at the rim once. And why I mention that is what that tells you is those were uncontested. If you're only fouled in an area where you've got Giannis and Brook Lopez, you only draw one foul, and especially the way we see both of those guys contesting shots, it means they weren't around the play. That was the most troubling part of it, was the Hawks were just getting into the paint, and they were getting to the rim. A lot of dribble penetration that just caused problems for the Bucks all night long. Part of that was, you know, what we just mentioned, what Doc Rivers said after the game, too, night two of a back-to-back. He mentioned, I don't know if I want to call it lapses, but just lack of communication, miscues, where backdoor cuts, off-ball movement. We were seeing guys get open looks, and a lot of times that's getting into the paint and getting around the rim. That's what the Hawks were feasting off of in the first half, And conversely, we saw the Bucks struggle with shots at the rim. And again, I think I mentioned the numbers earlier on the show. The Hawks have done a good job at protecting the paint this season. And I think the way they do it isn't necessarily Clint Capella being a rim protector, isn't necessarily Onyeka Okongwu in the minutes he comes in to spell Clint Capella being a shot blocker. It's the way they structure their defense with those guys that we've mentioned. Zachary Risache, DeAndre Hunter, even Jalen Johnson, certainly Dyson Daniels. The waves of guys that they can throw out there and stagger to really not let you get a head full of steam getting into the paint and going downhill at the rim. They do as good a job as anyone at putting out those types of looks, similar to what we saw way back when from teams like the Toronto Raptors and the Miami Heat. So that's how they limit your looks and attempts in the paint. But the Bucks were not getting there, and when they did, we saw Giannis miss three shots at the rim in the first half. And the thing about missing those types of shots, if you have bigs missing dunks and layups, it's really a two-headed problem. You're taking those points off the board and points that more often than not we're going to see Giannis convert on. You're not getting those points, but also one of your rim protectors and a big part of your defense is all the way down at the rim on the other end of the floor when the opponent has started a fast break and moving all the way down. We'll mention that. I mean, not the same play type, but we saw Jalen Johnson go coast to coast on a missed free throw dunk. How many Jalen Johnson dunks did we see in this game? It wasn't just, oh man, what's wrong with the Bucks defense? This is like what we're seeing earlier in the season. I do think a big part of it was the tired legs, the fatigue, and Doc Rivers himself said that. But you got to move on from this, and it's going to be tough to do the same Friday night in Boston. Going to be very curious to see how the Bucks come out in that game. Also going to be very curious to see who's going to be available in that game for the Boston Celtics, because I mentioned they did beat the Pistons tonight. It was a close game. It got down to 5 late in the game, but they ultimately win it by 10. They played that game without Jrue Holiday, who's dealing with left knee tendinopathy. They played without Jason Tatum, who's dealing with right knee tendinopathy. So we will see if either or both of those guys are going to be back for Friday night's game against the Bucks. But it's the pocket of your schedule in the month of December where it is different. You know, I mentioned a couple of times, you didn't have more than 2 games against teams with a winning record from about a week ago until January 8th when you play the San Antonio Spurs. It doesn't count because the win to get them above 500 came tonight against you. The Hawks are now suddenly one of those teams. You do have the Boston Celtics. You do have the Cleveland Cavaliers. Those were the two. Well, now we know you'll have one more in the Orlando Magic, and you may have one more in the Atlanta Hawks. If you play the New York Knicks for your second game, you will have one more in that. So this is the pocket of your schedule where you have those teams above 500. Otherwise, once you get through that, it reverts back to a lot of the same type of teams that we saw towards the end of November. The key difference is those games are going to be played heavily on the road. So we'll take a look at the rest of the scores and get you set for Friday night in Boston, where the Bucks look to start a new streak against the Celtics, and wrap things up next on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. Round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Friday night in Boston, a chance for the Bucks to regroup here and avoid being swept in the regular season by the Celtics. They have played Boston competitively in the regular season each of these past 2 seasons, even the 2 losses earlier this year. Competitive games, and that is the next step for this team. I think I would echo what Doc Rivers said. You know, you're disappointed to lose, but you're not going to win every single game that you play. So it's time to start a new streak. Losing a game on night 2 of a back-to-back against the Atlanta Hawks. And again, they didn't lose solely because it was night 2 of a back-to-back. But losing that game, it doesn't undo the 7-game win streak. It doesn't undo the 9-1 record in your last 10 games. It doesn't undo a 10-5 record in November and much, much better metrics on both the offensive and defensive end of the floor. But the next step for this team now is to start to beat those teams. You know, there's been a lot of criticism over the Bucks' schedule here, and a lot of yeah buts being tossed out there. Like, sure, the Bucks have won, and sure, they're back above 500, and maybe it looks like things are going right for them, but they're not beating anyone. Well, the Bucks don't determine their schedule. You can only beat the teams that are in front of you. They have played competitive games against two of the three best teams in the Eastern Conference, the two best teams in the Eastern Conference for that matter, but your most difficult games this season, if we just look at how these teams are performing thus far, you beat the Houston Rockets. That's a very good win so far. You lost by one to the Cleveland Cavaliers on a Donovan Mitchell game-winning shot with 0.3 seconds remaining. You lost by two on the road to the Cleveland Cavaliers. You lost two close games to the Boston Celtics. So you've been competitive with those teams, but you have not won. And that is the next thing now. That's the next step that we need to see from this team is, okay, the metrics are starting to look better. And that was, again, what gave me the most optimism about this defense and some of that turnaround that we saw. I mentioned it a number of times. It included five games in that span against the three best offenses in the league. The Celtics, the Cavs, and the New York Knicks. You went 0 for 5 in those games. But your defense wasn't necessarily the problem there. It was still when the offense was kind of starting to slowly but surely figure things out, your offense was a major issue. Well, you've held up against good offenses. Now you got to start to win those games. And your first crack at doing that is Friday night in Boston. Potential for a big weekend here to start to springboard something. If you can win there, build some momentum, get some of that revenge, as we mentioned, Sunday afternoon in Brooklyn against the Nets, and then move into the NBA Cup, where, similar to what we mentioned about tonight's opponent, I think a lot of those similarities exist for your opponent in the quarterfinals, the Orlando Magic. They struggle offensively, but they can really defend, and it is a physical team, and we talked about some of the waves of defenders and challenges that the Hawks are able to throw out there at Giannis. Well, the Orlando Magic have a lot of the same, and they have some on the perimeter as well with Jalen Suggs and his ability to clamp down on guards. So it's going to be a defensive test for the Bucks. How can their defense match up, and what can their offense do against a very, very good Orlando Magic defense? We'll have that answer in less than a week when the quarterfinals kick off here at Fiserv Forum. But our next game broadcast is Friday night, the Bucks and the Celtics from Boston, 6:30 tip-off, 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, we will be here after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.